Every so often, I at least become aware of just where the world is. I think about what God told Elisha, that I'll always have my remnant. When Elisha told God, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one you got. He said, no, I'll always have my remnant. And I got, what was it, 7,500 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. There'll always be some of us, but please understand, we're in a place called the Bible Belt. It's even culturally accepted to be a churchgoer and a Christian down here. In other parts of the country, it's not at all. You are ostracized and singled out if you have anything to do publicly with the Lord in a lot of places in this United States. But every so often, something hits the papers that really makes me see where things are. Most of you know that we've just gotten over a day of prayer. And it's an interesting thing came out of that. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, was selected to lead a prayer at a Washington service for that particular day. He made a comment that offended a bunch of people, and they put him out. He wound up leading a prayer service in a parking lot up there. Now, what did the fellow say? When there's somebody that I disapprove of that is supposed to be standing for God, I make you aware of that and I call names. And I call names when there's somebody needs our prayer and support too, and Franklin Graham's one of them who does. They selected him because he was a very prominent Christian in the United States, and he has a son who is in his fourth tour of duty in Afghanistan. So it seems like he would fit the bill as well as anybody. But he made a comment, a public comment, and here's what it was. Graham's offense was expressing his belief that only Christians have God's ear. That Islam is evil and that Muslim and Hindus don't pray to the same God he does. No elephant with 100 arms can do anything for me, Graham said in a USA Today interview, referring to one of the 5 main Hindu deities. None of their 9,000 gods is going to lead me to salvation. We are fooling ourselves if we think we can have some big kumbaya service and all hold hands and it's all going to get better in this world. It's not going to get better. That's what he said. Amen. It's not, this writer says, if the whole world prays for a common good, will no good come of it? If so, then what's the point of a national day of prayer, O ye of little faith? At Graham's views didn't sit well with secular Americans or even non-evangelical Christians who protested the government is endorsing a certain flavor of Christianity. Graham isn't alone in his views. A survey of 1,000 pastors, Protestant pastors, conducted by an evangelical polling firm found that 47% agree Islam is a very evil and very wicked religion. But such opinions may be confined mostly to the older generation. Evangelicals under 30 believe there are many ways to God, not just through Jesus. Now I'm going to stop right there. I feel a very real responsibility that anybody that's listening to me understands a couple of things that this thing here brings out. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. Now, y'all need to understand that. There is no other way, period. Nearly two-thirds of evangelicals under 35 believe non-Christians can go to heaven, versus 39% of those over 65. So here is a conclusion that this writer reached. When it comes to whose prayers carry more weight in the heavenly realm, well, who really knows? Well, I'm here to answer that by saying, as a born-again believer, you need to know. You do not need to take that attitude. It may be cool and it may be political, but it's blasphemous. Now, the point is made that you mean the whole world can be praying that good will come and nothing will happen with it? No, I don't mean that. But I want to show you some things this morning about prayer, what the Bible says about prayer, to make sure that you understand that prayer is not like a new dove hunter going to the edge of the field and just seeing a black speck up there and just shooting, hoping it's going to hit something. Prayer's not like that. And the Bible has got some very, very staunch guidelines about what prayers are heard and what prayers are not heard. And believe it or not, this morning, there are a lot of prayers that God never hears. Everybody prays. When Sarge falls off the cliff and hangs by that one little old root, you know, it's got three leaves on it. You've seen it in Beetle Bailey. He prays. Everybody prays. You get in a jam, you pray. It's like Brother said a while ago. As long as there's exams, there'll be prayer. Not that they'll probably do any good. That's one place where it's of works and not faith. If you don't study, you can have all the faith you want to and you'll still fail. But I want to read you some scriptures this morning. And this is where I'm saying I'm going to be jumping from one place to another. But I want you to hear what the Bible says specifically about prayer and the hindrances to prayer. Those things that keep prayers, your prayers, my prayers, from being answered. And the first one comes from James chapter 1. In James chapter 1 and verse 6. James says, but let him, if any of you lack wisdom, he said, ask of God, and he'll give it to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, tossed with the wind, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, if you pray wondering if it's going to be answered, that's it. That's it. Ooh, that's hard. Yes, it is. But that's what God says. In Mark chapter 11, in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. There's something very important about getting your prayers answered, and that's believing when you pray that it's going to be answered. If you doubt, James says it's not. Praying in faith. That's what that's about. Number two is praying in Jesus' name. In John chapter 14. And this is something that needs to be somewhat explained too. In John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatever ye shall ask in my name, Jesus says, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, it's more than just tacking on the end of your prayer, and I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The thing about praying in Jesus' name is identifying yourself with that prayer with the things that Jesus wants also. If you ask Jesus to do what Jesus wants to do to, your prayer will be answered. In chapter 15, the next chapter of John, in verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So, praying the same things that Jesus wants answered will get your prayers answered. Somebody says, well, that sounds pretty simple. Just find out what he wants and pray for it, and you'll have answered prayers. Yes, you will. But it takes a knowledge of the Word and a knowledge of God and some experience to know all those things, because we tend, when we first become Christians, to pray only for those things that we want for ourselves. And I hope that I've done my job and made it plain that as a born-again believer, our number one job is to use the association that we have with God, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the relationship with Jesus, in order to bring God's help in the lives of other people. That is our primary reason for praying. Praying in God's will. This comes from 1 John chapter 5. Now this, to me, is a very, very important bit of information about praying. It says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him." Now I'm going to turn that around. How do you, can you know that you're going to get what you're praying for? Is to know that it's God's will. Because listen to me. If you pray a prayer that is not God's will, He never even hears it. That's what it says. If He doesn't hear it, you won't get it. And if you don't pray in His will, He never hears it. I didn't realize that. I thought that anytime I get frantic and pray, God will hear me. No, it doesn't work that way. Prayer has been given to us as probably the best tool we have to bring about God's will on this earth as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. The greatest tool, and so few people know anything about it much because not a lot is said about it. They just kind of leave it out there vague for people to guess at it. And that's what these people have done here. It's a noble thing for everybody in the world to pray. Right? So who knows who hears it? Well, I'm beginning to find out that there's some that are never heard. In Romans chapter 8, there is a function as we pray of the Holy Spirit in our life. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity." What is our infirmity? Not knowing how to pray or what to pray for. The Holy Spirit, one of its jobs in dwelling us as Christians, is to take our prayers, listen to this, and fix them where they'll work. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You pray, and you pray with the best knowledge that you have, with the best understanding that you have. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what you're trying to do, and he takes your prayer and changes it to where God will understand it like he does. That it will fit the rules of heaven. That it will get to the throne room like it's supposed to. Praying under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now here's one in Psalms chapter 66. This is an easy one to understand. And this right here will keep a lot of prayers from getting above the ceiling. In the 66th Psalm, in verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does that mean? That means I got a bad thought. I know it's a bad thought. I realize it's a bad thought. And I leave it there. Instead of recognizing it as a bad thought and seeing how quickly I can get it out of my head, I leave it there. Because you see, you can't believe what they did to me. I deserve to be mad over that. And you leave it there. When you have got bad things in your head and you know they're bad and you don't do anything about them, God doesn't hear your prayers. So then, you got people who are not Christians. They're under the control of Satan. They're all over the world, and they're praying today. Who knows who hears what? We should. Because without Jesus Christ and without a state of confessed sin in your life, God never hears your prayer. Well, what about all these unsaved sinners? Well, you tell me, what about them? In Mark, back in Mark chapter 6, in Mark 11, I got so many numbers on the page, I can't keep up with them all. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. It says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. And if ye have anything against any, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So there's a condition, there's a clause, there's a fine print in the contract. You don't forgive, but you want God to forgive you. He said, don't work that way. When you cry out for forgiveness, if you don't forgive those who sin against you, God won't forgive you. That sounds pretty serious. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Living in disharmony with your brothers and sisters can cause your prayers to be hindered. In 1 John, chapter 4. If a man says, I love God, verse 20, if a man says, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So you see, if we don't get along with each other down here, it's going to get in the way of our prayers. And here is a very specific hindrance in 1 Peter chapter 3, just a few pages over to the left. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It's talking about wives and husbands here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, in like manner ye husbands, dwell with them, the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now let me stop right there and make a point. Guys, as a Christian, do not be guilty of saying, who can understand a woman? Because God has commanded you to understand the one you got. You don't have to understand mine, but you have to understand the one you got. And it's anti-biblical to say you can't understand them because you're commanded to. God will not command you to understand your wife if he doesn't give you the power to do that. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now another point there, he doesn't call her a weaker vessel. He says you give honor unto her as if she was. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. When you get married, God changes things to where the things that happen to you because of who you married, and the things that happen to the one you married happen to them because of you. You receive together. That your prayers be not hindered. You are to give honor unto your wife as unto a weaker vessel. I've taught that for years to the effect that if you and your wife have a little spat first thing, don't you leave the house without straightening it out. You don't want to get a call that day that your kids have been involved in a wreck or something. And understand that you don't have any power in prayer because you left the house talking bad about your wife. With intensity and righteousness, James, a few pages back over to the left, chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer, a prayer with intensity, a prayer that's meant, not a flippant prayer, not a prayer that's just thrown up hoping we'll hit something. A prayer that has an aim and a goal. Another hindrance to prayer is disobedience. In 1 John, right back over a few pages to the right, chapter 3. And whatever we ask, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So see, you can read it the other way. You do things that are not pleasing in God's sight, you don't get what you pray for. And if you're not obedient to His commandments, it keeps your prayers from being answered. Now there's an interesting phenomenon also that we need to understand. It comes from back in Daniel. We won't go into it at length. But there is another way that our prayers, when everything has been done like it's supposed to, will not be answered. And it's in Daniel chapter 10. Understand the situation. Daniel had prayed to God. And for 22 days his prayer had not been answered. And he's still praying. Then an angel shows up, touches him on the shoulder. As soon as he does, he hits the ground like he's been struck with a sledgehammer. And then the angel tells him, "Get up, Daniel." I can see Daniel saying, "Well, why did you knock me down if you wanted me up?" But as soon as he hits the ground, he stands him back up. And this is what he says. "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent." And when he had spoken this word unto me, Daniel said, "I stood trembling." Then said he unto me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand." Understand what? Understand God. "And to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard." Now there is a recipe for getting your prayers answered. To understand God, and then to change yourself as you understand Him. "Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia," this is a name for a demon, "withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes," or the archangel, "came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people, and behold," he says, "I've got to get back because I left Michael fighting that demon, and I got to get back and help him out. He came and helped me. I came and to answer your prayer. Now I got to get back and help him." There are times when everything is right and God wants to answer your prayer, and Satan's forces come in and keep your prayers from being answered. He said then that from the very first day you prayed, I came out of heaven to answer your prayer, and I've been fighting this demon 21 days. So the word is, keep on praying. The angel that was sent to answer your prayer might be in a big fight, a physical fight with the forces of Satan. Turn back to the left a few pages to Proverbs. Here's one people don't know about, probably. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13. "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." You're aware of a need, and you turn a blind eye to it. Then when you have a need, you ask God to supply your need. It's the thing about forgiving and receiving forgiveness. Here's one about helping others and being helped yourself. God says, "You're the one that set the pattern. If this is the way you think people ought to be treated, that's the way I'll treat you." And number 12, in Isaiah, a little over to the right, in chapter 59, it says, "In your sins has hidden his face from you, that he will not hear." So you're leading a sinful life. Talking about Christians here now. You're leading a sinful life. God won't hear your prayers. He chooses not to. Doesn't say he can't, like it did in another place. It says he will not. Now, we come down to this, and I want to remind you what he said in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 7, in verse 14. If my people, and Mr. Buddy brings up praying for our country almost every week, and God says, if my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. The assumption there is he hadn't heard. And will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is a specific instruction right there how to get your land straightened out. Now, does it say a national day of prayer? Does it say everybody praying? No. It says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face, I'll hear their prayer from heaven and I'll heal their land. Now let me ask you this. Does it do any good to have a national day of prayer? Not if we're praying already. Because you see, we're the ones that get stuff done. Does God hear the prayer of a sinner? I've gotten in several conversations about that. And at this point, with these scriptures that I've just read to you, I don't see how he could. He hears one prayer from the voice of an unsaved person. And he says, whoso calleth on the Lord shall be saved. When an unsaved person prays for salvation, God always hears that prayer. I do not know of any biblical validity for him saying that he ever hears any other prayer they pray. So then, Franklin Graham made the statement that God only has the ear for Christians. How bad wrong was he? I don't think he's wrong at all. For him to stand in front of a national public audience and make that statement, you've heard me criticize some other big-time church leaders we've got in this country that wouldn't even own up to the fact that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. When they had a chance to, they wouldn't do it. If the polls are right, and that big a percentage of the people in this country believe that there are other ways to get to Jesus, to heaven, other than by Jesus Christ, we need to get louder. Somebody's got to understand. We can't argue, but we've got to make the statement, a direct statement at people, Jesus is the only way. And don't dodge that issue. We must try to make people understand. Because you see, the media, writers, comic books, the comics in the newspaper and everything say that everybody's prayers get heard. It's in there all the time. I don't see how you could be aware of the scriptures that I've read today and believe that everybody's prayers get heard. There are conditions to answered prayer, and there they are. There are conditions for being born again, and there are conditions for people who belong to God, who are not living the way God says we need to live in order to get our prayers answered. So the next time you read something like this in the paper, you hear something like this on the radio, or see something like this on TV, please understand. The country right now is running down Christian newsmen. They're giving them fits. And they're making them out to be as stupid and nearsighted and whatever. And that's not true. That's not true. there is a remnant. And I pray that each one in this room might be a part of that remnant today. Not only be a part of that remnant, but because you know, be vocal about who you are, what you believe, and where you stand. And to sincerely pray, humble yourself, and seek God's face. And God says, if those conditions are met, He will heal our land. Let's pray. Father, that kind of changes things. For us to understand that we have carte blanche with you, that you'll do anything we ask, that you hear every prayer we utter, no matter how we live, no matter how we're concerned about the way you want us to live, we pray right on and expect them to be answered. Lord, teach us how to pray in such a way that we may see results and that the world can see those results too. Lord, I pray for our country. You say that the heart of the king is in your hand and you'll change it any way you want to. And I pray today that as Christians we might influence the man that you've placed up there. That would possibly turn our country back to you and make it one of the few places in the world that still acknowledge you as God, the only true God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.